Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ. With your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, from the state of North Carolina. Tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host, Steve Cordo, from the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Church of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give me a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts on this radio show, you can send your comments to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask you to bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be my co-host, Steve Cordo, on the show this evening as he breaks unto us the bread of life. We pray that you would bless him and his family that supports his efforts, that he may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you would bless our listeners this evening who are tuning in to this radio show through social media as well as Blog Talk Radio. We pray that they may listen well, and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask that you would forgive us for the sins we have committed in our minds and our bodies, for we know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of thy will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And that we have been faithful until death. Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Our speaker for this evening is my co-host, Steve Cordle. He serves as the evangelist with the Central Church of Christ there in Monticello, Florida. He'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ on the broadcast tonight. So open up your Bibles and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Steve. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my co-host Steve Cordo and his subject, The Lesser of Two Evils.
Well, good evening, Stevie, and thank you for this opportunity to be back here on the show with you. And some of you may have heard this a few weeks ago when we did this initially on the Thursday night edition of the show, and Stevie asked me to repeat it, and I made a few changes to it, but it's still basically the same lesson that it was back 2 weeks ago. And it has to do with a question that actually Stevie asked about whether or not Christians should even be involved in our political process, if the system is so corrupt, like we are oftentimes saying it is. And I also incorporated into it a discussion of the concept of the lesser of two evils. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, some will not like my answer, and I admit my answer is not perfect, and it might even raise some objections and even some more questions. But I'm going to try and also and be as politically neutral as possible. And just so there is no doubt, I will just tell you where I sit before I tell you where I stand. Now, most of my voting life, I've either been a registered independent or a registered Republican. I've never registered as a Democrat, and I've only, that I can remember, voted for Democrats twice in my life. One time, I voted a straight third-party ticket, with the exception of the congressman for that district I was living in which case I did vote a Republican that one time. Now, tomorrow is Election Day. And I don't know about you, but I dread election time. In my younger days, I would look forward to it. I would really get excited. But since about the mid-80s, to be honest with you, I have not at all been excited about elections. Not at all. And so the problem, though, is that many times it's the candidates, particularly the ones with the R next to their name. And in the case of Donald Trump, that is the candidate, the problem. The current standard bearer of the Republican Party is a known womanizer. He's dishonest, quick to sue if things don't go his way. And yeah, I consider every year voting for a third party, but I generally don't do it. Not to say I'm letting Smoking Joe off the hook either. He has his own problems with ethics and that sort of thing. And if you're watching on Facebook, you can see the cartoon that's up on the screen right now that has got a bunch of sheep that are at the ballot box, and there's a wolf and there's a lion. One box has got a wolf over its head. The other one has got a lion that is over its head. And those are the ones that are the candidates that they have to choose from, the wolf or the lion. And not much of a choice, is it? And some may just feel that way about our candidates that we have. Now, let's look and see what we've got. For purposes of this video, or of this session, let's just strip away the party affiliations and the platforms. Let's look at the men. Now, to be honest, except for the differences in personal wealth and the R or the D next to their names, I see very little difference in these two men that we have to choose from. In fact, I actually see no difference in the two men. Both men are, okay, I'm going to have to say it, both men are old, okay? They're both north of 70. They are both quite wealthy. And since leaving the vice presidency, Biden's net worth has surged by some $15 million, according to Forbes magazine, or Fox Business News. According to Fox Business News, while in the White House, Biden went silent on his tax returns, and only in July of 2020 did he start releasing his and Jill's returns, and that was only for the years 2016, 17, and 18. Trump, on the other hand, has a net worth of approximately $3 billion when he took office in 2017, which has since declined by about a third, according to Forbes magazine. Now, both men have accusations of various levels of sexual misconduct and or even assault against them. And while it is well known that Biden was widowed from his first marriage, he was sworn into the Senate in the hospital where his sons, Hunter and Beau, were being treated for injuries they sustained in an accident that killed his wife and his daughter. And what is less known is the story of his meeting his current wife, Jill, on a blind date. That's questionable. The status of his first marriage at the time, of her first marriage, rather, is questioned by her then husband, who says that they were actually still legally married when she started dating Joe. But that comes from an ex-spouse, so take it for what it's worth. Do with it what you will. Both men have made some verbal gaffes. Trump's Twitter blasts are legendary, and they are the stuff that since he first announced his candidacy, Trump's mental stability has been questioned, as has his views on white supremacy and racism. Trump is at best someone who is mistake prone, at worst, and mistake prone because of his shoot from the hip style of dealing with the press and just the way he deals with crowds. At worst, he is a compulsive liar. Some might even say that he is a pathological liar. And my understanding of the difference in the two is that both will lie when the truth would do, but a compulsive liar, if you push him on the facts, he will back down. In other words, if I try to convince you that I'm living, that I own Stevie Butler's house, he can come in and show you the mortgage, the utilities, the tax bill. And a compulsive liar in that case would say, oh, I'm just messing with you, and just back down. The pathological liar is going to take the Chico Marx view of it and say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? He's not going to back down. Now, Biden has also been less than honest. We know that his first presidential campaign in 1988 went down because of accusations of plagiarism from a British politician. And he is also known for gaffes off the cuff, and then his teleprompter he is allegedly using for what are supposed to be off-the-cuff and spontaneous interviews. The best-case scenario with him is that he's just trying to do some kind of rope-a-dope maybe on Trump and Trump supporters. Worst-case scenario with Biden is that he is suffering from early stages of dementia. We really don't know about that, but that's been speculated. So there you have it. You've got two flawed candidates. You've got two men who share some of the same major character flaws, and the respective supporters who on both sides. You've got the supporters of Trump who will not acknowledge his sins and shortcomings. You've got the supporters of Biden who do the same thing. They're not going to acknowledge his sins and flaws and shortcomings. And that goes for the hardcore supporters. Now, in defense of Trump, what typically has been said is, well, we're electing a pastor or a president, not a pastor. Or they'll offer the, it's a private business, it's their business, it's not yours, leave it alone. Now, for someone like me who strives for objectivity, every election is more of a struggle. And setting aside party platforms and just, again, looking at the character of these two men, neither man should have been allowed anywhere near the respective party's nominations. Now, I have not been excited to vote since the 80s, and increasingly I find myself just voting against a given candidate instead of for a candidate. So given that there's so little in the character of these two men, so little difference, I mean, we are now left with the last line of defense. Well, Trump is the lesser of two evils, or Biden is the lesser of two evils. Now, in this sense, the lesser of two evils is used in terms, it's not a biblical term, and it's fairly new as far as I can tell. It's only been around maybe in the last 40 or 50 years. Now, neither one of these candidates, as far as I can tell, show any kind of religious persuasion that reflects biblical Christianity. So those in the household of faith who happen to live and work here in the United States, remember, we are just citizens temporarily here, but we are faced with whether or not to vote for Trump or Biden. We're basically left with two individuals that are flawed given our system and the way it's set up. Sure, you can vote for a third party, but what chance do they have? Now, sin is sin. There's no dispute about that. And those who are not Christians will have to give an account to God for that. So now we come to the lesser of two evils, but kind of a catch-22. And I suppose the first thing to remember is the idea of the lesser of two evils is a man-made term. As I said, it does not appear in Scripture. But as I was thinking about this, I started looking at various figures from history, and I selected some people that I would like for us to look at and to discuss. And I've got this hypothetical ballot here that I want to put out to us and just for your consideration. Candidate number one. Now, this guy comes from a prominent family. In fact, he owes much of his position in life to his father. You might say he was born privileged. He was a womanizer. He was married several times, had business enterprises that were profitable, including some real estate development. But he had built a lot of things that were very major projects, and one that he is really known for. He was a head of state, and he also laid a crushing tax burden on his people. So much so, in fact, that he left his successor with a huge national debt from wars and all the assorted projects that he did. And it eventually caused a split in the country. Now, I'll tell you, I read this to someone earlier, and they said, that sounds an awful lot like Trump. Well, stay tuned. Now, candidate number two was adopted shortly after birth, and this was what some would call an open adoption. His mother was involved in his life, just like today, many adoptions are open. He killed the man. And it's possible a court of law could have acquitted him, but he turned fugitive for several years. He had political connections that could maybe have gotten him off. And we'll never know definitively what would have happened to that because of his fleeing the country. And despite some anger issues, he eventually rose to national prominence and became the head of a nation. He was not an obvious leader. In fact, he was unsure of himself, and he was prone to anger, and he could himself be insubordinate. And then this is a woman. Now, we don't know a whole lot about her, except other than she ran a business of some kind. And there is some debate about what exactly the nature of the business was. We know she existed. We also know she got wrapped up with enemy intelligence agents. When her country knew they were under imminent invasion, she cut a deal with the enemy for the usual reason. She wanted to save her neck and that of her families. And she eventually disappears from history, and we really don't know what happened to her. Charles Spurgeon, now keep those candidates in mind, we'll come back to them. Charles Spurgeon is attributed to the phrase, of two evils, choose neither. And we all know that various religious groups have prayed for Trump. He showed up last year a 7,000-member megachurch in South Florida that was praying for him, which is fine. All leaders needed to be prayed for. So what are we to do as Christians? First of all, we need to understand that God has ordained government, and it is by God's will that a man or a woman be the head of a nation. Now, there are two aspects of God's will. There's actually more than that, but for purposes of our discussion here, we are going to just consider two of these. Hang on a minute, I'm having a little technical issue. Here we go. We're going to consider two aspects of God's will. Number one is his permissive will. When God allows something to happen, that is his permissive will. Now, in some cases, God's permissive will does not have his full blessings. God's permissive will can bring various consequences as well. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. That is an example of God's permissive will. When Israel is demanding a king, they want a king, but God keeps telling them that you really don't want a king. You really don't, because of all the problems that it is going to cause you. But they kept saying, no, we want a king, we want a king. And finally he says, okay, Samuel, who was the prophet at the time, give them a king. So Samuel did just that. This is a lot like parents. We'll let our kids do things. They'll be nagging us for something, and eventually we'll just say, okay, go ahead, even though we know it's not their best choice. We're going to let them. We're going to invoke our permissive will and let them do it. The second aspect of God's will is purposeful will. This is when God wills something to happen for a specific purpose, such as Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers, or Mary giving birth to the Messiah. Those were examples of God's purposeful will. Some call that God's perfect will. Now, we have to remember, too, that all civil governments derive their origin and their authority from God. And when doing right, they will have his sanction. They have his blessings. Civil officers need to remember that they are part of God's appointment, and that for these reasons, we do need to pay our taxes. I know to some I've quit preaching and I've started meddling, but sure, we do need to pay taxes. There are legitimate functions of government that need money, so government is ordained of God. Second, how do we as Christians relate to the institutions of government? Well, Christians are expected to submit to the laws of the state. we are expected to follow the laws that God has ordained. Our founders, if you remember, did create a limited government. They wanted one where maximum civil liberties could be exercised, which is also why it is difficult to amend our Constitution a lot of times, and we'll have maybe another discussion about that another time. But our founders intended for government to be limited. You notice there's nothing in there that says anything about limiting the rights of citizens. All the limitations are, in fact, placed on government. We have to remember, too, that government legislates morality. Some will argue that you cannot legislate morality. That is, in fact, nonsense. We have laws against murder, laws against rape. We have, if you take the oath of in a court of law to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, guess what? The government is legislating morality. They expect everything you say to be the truth. There is also no divine institution for tyranny. There is no biblical authorization for a government to exercise absolute, unabridged power over its people. The government is expected to be look out for the good and punish the evil. Now, as Christians, we must give the state what it needs the most, and that is righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11, what our government needs most is good citizenry, and that's where we Christians need to set the example. That is where we need to make sure that what we are doing will lead people to Christ and set the example for law-abiding citizens. Proverbs chapter 14 says sin is a reproach to many people, but righteousness exalts a nation. No nation, including the United States, has ever been completely righteous. No nation has ever been completely sinful. We need to understand also that in Proverbs 14:35, Solomon is picturing God as king. The servant is a nation, and the nation is a righteous nation. Now, there's one thing that I had forgotten to mention in my last appearance on the show with this lesson, and this is the go-to passage when it talks about New Testament Christians being involved with the government. That's Acts chapter 25 when Paul is before Festus. And he's on trial, and Festus really can't find anything wrong worthy of what Paul has done. But then Paul does something kind of interesting. In verse 10, Paul says, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. If I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things which these men accuse me of, no one can deliver me from them. I appeal to Caesar." Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered and said, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." Now this was a right that Roman citizens had, and Paul was a Roman citizen by birth, being born in Tarsus. And this goes back to, as best as I can tell, about the 5th century B.C. This was usually exercised when appealing against a magistrate's verdict. And it could be exercised at almost any stages in the proceedings. Now, once a Roman citizen invoked an appeal to Caesar, that was it. The proceedings stopped. There was no revoking it, no changing his mind. That's it. You're going to Caesar. So Festus really didn't have any choice. Once Paul said he was going to appeal to Caesar, he had to send him. So Paul is using his rights as a Roman in the legal system. And in the political system, too. Now, here's the question. Who was Caesar? There were seven people who were men who used the title Caesar. Who was Caesar in this case? Well, it is this man. And I can't say his name in Latin very well, but you know his name from history. His name is Nero. And Nero's debauchery and his hatred of Christians is well documented in history. Now, at this point, Nero is a teenager. He's just come to the throne. He was about 16 when he came to the throne. His reign and his life and everything have not gone completely off the rails, but he is still not exactly the epitome of morality and virtue. So it could be that he's early in his reign, and Paul thinks he's getting a young, inexperienced emperor at this point. We really don't know. And then let's also remember that Paul told Timothy to, first of all, that Paul says, "I exhort," 1 Timothy chapter 2, "that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all goodliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, the only exception that we have as Christians to disobey man's law is if it conflicts with God's law. Christians are called to be conscientious citizens. We are, generally speaking, to submit to the governing authorities. But if something goes wrong where the government is abusing that authority, they want us to disobey God's law, then we do like Peter said in Acts chapter 5, we ought to obey God, not men. We are called upon to obey the government, but we have to remember where our ultimate loyalty lies. And there is nothing in being obedient to God that is going to cause any problem with my fellow man. God only has the greater good in mind, and therefore what I do to obey God is going to be for the good. Now, here's the choice. What happens in a race where Christians are faced with two morally problematic choices like we have this year? Government is ordained by God. We're supposed to obey the government, but we got two guys here that, let's face it, are not the epitome of morality and virtue. Neither one of them are. And this tends to be a problem, especially for single-issue voters, particularly abortion, where pro-life people tend to just look at that one issue, and if a candidate is pro-abortion, that's it. We're done. I'm not voting for him. Doesn't matter what he thinks about economics, tax policy, foreign trade, or anything like that. They're done with him. And that is very problematic. So what do we do when we're casting a ballot? Tomorrow, those of us who haven't cast a ballot are going to go in and to our polling places and vote. So what am I supposed to do? Well, let's consider the idea of the lesser of two evils. If Jesus Christ is not on your ballot, and I've checked the Florida sample ballot, he is not a candidate for any office, then we are voting for the lesser of two evils. We are voting for flawed, failed human beings when we cast our ballot. And that is across every party, every platform, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, whatever. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. We are all unrighteous before God, and that includes Donald Trump. A couple of years back, he was on a talk show and asked a question to the effect, do you think you have any sins you need to be forgiven of? And he just said, no. Well, let's have a look and see what John had to say about that. 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. People who say that they can approach God on their own, which is essentially what Trump was saying when he said that I don't have any sins I think I need to be forgiven of, what he's saying is I can handle sin on my own, and I don't need a Savior, I don't need the Son of God, I don't need any of that. But note the Scripture says the misconception is we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves if we say that we have not sinned, and Trump has deceived himself. There will never come a day when one politician or political party can perfectly embrace biblical values. Not even ministers, and I've got 25, 26 years in the ministry, even we cannot say that we are completely living completely biblically valued lives. It's not possible because men everywhere have sinned, including ministers, your elders, your deacons. They've all sinned at one time or another, even since becoming an elder or a deacon or a minister or whatever. The only way to contend, as the Bible says, that sin has contaminated every person's being. So what does God think of me voting for a sinner like Biden or like Trump? Let's go back and have a look at our hypothetical ballot. Now, this man... there was actually four on the ballot. This one I'm going to put here, who spent some time as a fugitive and fled from the government, living continuously on the edge. He lived as a little bit of a rebel. He even lived in enemy territory for a long time and would be considered a traitor. The government has agents looking for him as a youth. As an adult, he caused the death of a man, which most would consider murder, possibly even conspiracy charges, depending on the knowledge of one other person involved. He was said to have a short fuse. He had family problems with his children. He was an absent father. Would you vote for this kind of a person to be president? If you said yes, you voted for King David to be president of the United States. What about this next candidate? The one that came from a prominent family and owed much of his position to his father. Born privileged, a womanizer, married several times. He had some business enterprises that were very profitable, including some real estate development, one building in particular. He waged a lot of wars, though, and put a crushing tax burden on his people, and then passed it off to a successor, with those huge debts resulting from wars and his capital improvement, if you want to call it that. It wasn't long after his successor came to power that a civil war started. But he also offered a lot of advice. And as I said, I read this description to someone, and as I was reading it, they said, hey, that sounds like Trump. Yeah, you know, Donald Trump does have a lot in common with a man named Solomon, except maybe for the wisdom part. And then what about this one that was adopted shortly after birth? He was what we would call an open adoption. His mother was involved with his raising. He killed a man, but it's possible a court of law would have acquitted him. He did have some political connections. We'll never know the definitive answer to that because he spent several decades as a fugitive from justice, and he also had some anger issues. He eventually rose to national prominence, became the head of a nation. He was not an obvious leader, but he was unsure of himself, and he could also be rather insubordinate. If you voted for this man, you voted for Moses to be president of the United States. And then what about the woman? Don't know a lot about her other than she had a business of some kind. There's a debate about the exact nature of the business. What we do know is she got involved with foreign intelligence agents. She betrayed her country to save her own neck from the invasion she knew was coming and to save her family. And then unlike most situations like this, though, the enemy nation kept their word. They allowed her to save herself, and then she eventually disappears from history. You voted for Rahab if you voted for this person. Now, I want you to notice some things. There are two murderers in this particular scenario. There are two traitors in this scenario, Rahab and Moses. David and Moses were murderers. Two of them had short fuses, David and Moses, or they were very decisive. Take your pick. One of them had a shady business venture. One of them was put a crushing tax burden on its people and had multiple marriages and multiple mistresses. So what conclusions can we draw and what applications? Well, first of all, if you're looking for the morally perfect candidate, forget it. It ain't going to happen. Trump is not morally perfect. Biden's not. Hillary Clinton was not. Pick your candidate, whoever the Libertarian or the Green Party candidate is. None of them are. Second, these are four very flawed and imperfect sinners that God used in their respective lifetimes. And after all of them are held up in Bible classes as being the epitome of God's servants. In fact, David was said to be a man after God's own heart and the apple of God's eye. There is no record anywhere of the lesser of evils argument being used against any of them. And as I said, they are held in very high esteem in biblical scholarship. Fourth, if a candidate is a Christian, we should vote for them. But remember, even if they are a Christian, they're still every bit the sinner that you are. And then fifth, Trump and Biden are both finite sinners. They are limited intellectually and spiritually and morally and dynamically. Neither one will always know the right thing to do. Neither one will always do the right thing. Neither one is going to do necessarily smart things or always be, if you want to call it, unsmart. I have to be careful. If my 7-year-old's around, I can't say the word stupid, which I just did. You also have to keep in mind that they're both going to lie. And sometimes when you are a head of state, particularly in intelligence matters, sometimes you have to. I'm not justifying it. I'm just stating what it is, the facts of that are there. When you look at both men or anybody, they are as imperfect sinners, that they are just like me, that they have the same temptations as I do, the same flaws that I do, then doesn't the lesser of evils argument fall apart? In light of Scripture, the lesser of evils argument is very subjective. it's the last ditch effort that I have to put my flawed candidate up against your flawed candidate and say that my flawed candidate is better than your flawed candidate. So that's an argument that really we can put to bed. How you choose a candidate is really going to be up to you. I've been thinking a lot about that, and as I said, I don't want to get political on this one right now, so we'll leave it there and go and vote tomorrow. Whoever you're going to vote for, however, just make sure you vote and your voices are heard. Thank you, Stevie, for having me on here. It looks like the Facebook feed collapsed on us here.
It ain't easy. No. Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough, so rough, so rough. Sometimes it gets tough for me. Has anybody been lonely? All by yourself. Has anybody been sad? Broken hearted and sad. Have you even been mad? Oh, you had to cry all night long. I know it's hard, but what you need. Stepped on and light on.
congregation in need of lending for a building or expansion project? As your partner and advocate, Diversified Financial Network will take the time to understand your unique situation and develop a financing solution that meets your specific needs. It's an exciting time for your congregation, and what you need is a company with expertise in church financing early in the process. Call us today at 1-866-513-6665 or visit us at www.diversifiedfinancegroup.com.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this radio broadcast, please contact me at Stevie B's Media Production Studio at 910-491-6405. Or send me your email to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com. Due to the pandemic outbreak, I will not be making any public announcements regarding public assemblies or meetings, but I will be making announcements regarding the events and activities happening on social media. On Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, there will be a nationwide gospel call that is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Highland Heights from Houston, Texas. And the telephone number for this nationwide call is 857-216-6700. And the access code is 328-497. This is a nationwide outreach to those who are not members of the Churches of Christ. And the speakers will be presenting a basic salvation message for them to learn what they must do in order to be saved and information about the Churches of Christ. In addition, it is intended to edify and strengthen the faith of those who are Christians. On Tuesday evening, the Delcrest Church of Christ in San Antonio, Texas, presents the Women's Virtual Bible Class at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can go to www.zoom.com, and the class ID is 821-3692-8262. On Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Church of Christ Ministers presents the Virtual Sermon Series 101, and the theme is Timeless Truth Through Truthless Times. They'll be live on Facebook and on YouTube. On YouTube channel, Somebody Must Come Preaching. And for more information, just contact the Arlington Road Church of Christ at www.arlingtonroadcoc.com and Hilltop Church of Christ at www.hilltopcoc.org. Daily at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, the Ladies in Christ prayer line, hosted by the Church of Christ in Lafayette, Louisiana. And that telephone number for this prayer line will be 605-472-5203. And access code is 514-859. On November the 9th and the 10th, there will be a live debate on YouTube, live on Facebook Coming by Hearing at www.youtube.com/faithcomingbyhearing. And the subject for this debate is water baptism essential for salvation. And in the affirmative would be Anthony Johnson from the Church of Christ from Berman, Georgia. And in the negative would be Brandon Thomas from the Christian Church in Belleville, Illinois. My co-host Steve Cordo, he was the speaker for the show tonight. He has a new book entitled God, Grace, and You, and you can order this book from the 21st Century Christian Catalog. On Saturday, November the 7th, the University Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina is having a virtual Ladies' Day. And for more information for this event, please call 704-599-0522. On Monday, well, that's today, that's this evening, at 6:30 p.m. tonight, at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, there is a National Church of Christ Prayer Hour, and this event will be hosted by Courtney Carruthers. He's the evangelist for the Colonial Village Church of Christ in Chicago, Illinois, and he's also one of my co-hosts here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. And to contact this prayer line information, go to the Zoom Media Outlet, and the ID number is 732-514-1351. And the password is prayer. This event started at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it started at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. To listen to the live shows, just call 713-955-0508 or type in your search bar www.blogtalkradio.com/gospel light radio show. The first Monday of every month, we have a special edition show here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have one of my co-hosts will be presenting a lesson from the Word of God. And this show will air from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then on Tuesday evening, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now, on tomorrow night, there will not be a show because I did a special edition tonight. I do not do shows on Tuesday night following. But we do have the What a Word from the Lord radio show that does air each week on Tuesday evening. And this show will air. I have a special guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ who presents lessons from the Word of God. And we also have the Community Corner segment that's designed to support small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. Also, have three co-hosts on the show, Lou Gilbert, he's a evangelist for the Overwood Park Church of Christ here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Edward Bishop, he serves with the Niagara Falls Church of Christ there in Niagara Falls, New York. And my newest co-host, Heather Otis, she's with the Grace Way Church of Christ there in Nashville, Tennessee. And she has the segment that will be airing on November the 17th, the Mid-Tennessee Singles Hour of Power. A segment will air every third Tuesday of the month, beginning November the 17th. And then on Thursday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And I have eight co-hosts on that show who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my social media platform called Shout It Out. And I encourage our listeners to get involved in that group for those biblical discussions. And then on Friday night, we have a new time that we air this show from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And on this show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the Sweet Sounds of Voices. We have the Story Glory segment that we do every first Friday of the month. And we're just interviewing the artists that we play on this radio show. We're also debuting new music and featuring old music. And our next scheduled interview will be on November the 6th. I'll be interviewing Cheryl Anderson from Fort Worth, Texas. We're also doing the Top 20 Countdown Show. Our next scheduled Top 20 Countdown Show will be on November the 20th. I'll be counting down my top 20 acapella gospel songs for the month of November. And we also have scheduled the Marathon Show beginning the first of the year, January 29th, 2021. The Lord bless us to see those days. I'll be featuring the artist Ricky Lawler from Longview, Texas. And my on-demand episodes, if you can't catch any of these live shows, wherever you're getting your favorite podcast from, there's a variety of musical platforms that you can go to listen to these on-demand episodes. And the major ones that I like to take note of is Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music, and YouTube, just to name a few. And just type in for the podcast, Stevie B Media Production. You'll see all of the on-demand episodes that we're producing here on a weekly basis. I have a new sponsorship manager, Michelle Marco from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Her phone number is 954-687-4705 if you would like to become a sponsor for these radio shows. And I'd like to give a shout out to all of my sponsors. Sharon Norwood, she lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo, and her slogan is a health product for healthier living. And my sponsor from Bethesda Memorial Funeral Director Crematory Services out of DeSoto, Texas, and my sponsor, Stanley Phillips. He's the owner of Touch of Class Apparel in Little Rock, Arkansas. Certainly appreciate him. And my sponsor, Cheryl Murat from Charlotte, North Carolina. She's a passionate Haiti leader, and she's been serving Northern Haiti for 20 plus years, and they invite you to become part of something greater than yourself. So please visit and donate to Haiti at www.compassionatehaitileader.faith. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Group from Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate her. And my sponsor, Diversified Financial Network, LLC, out of Dallas, Texas. Owners, Mark and Charlotte Carroll. And I have three new sponsors, Melvin Jackson from High Point, North Carolina, and Marquis Coleman from Charlotte, North Carolina. That company is called Unique Transportation Auto Car Hauling out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And Stephanie Booker Wilson from Greensboro, North Carolina. Her company is called Stephanie Song Vocal Studio. And Ordained Faith Publishing from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Productions, that is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, and want to encourage in the study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening, brother, to the Gospel Light radio show. Stay tuned.
I'll be with the Lord.
I'll be with the Lord.
Roll on through the valley of death.
Through the valley of death.
I'm sure I must go.
I'm sure I must go.
So the wages of sin.
So the wages of sin.
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I'll be judged by the deed.
I'll be judged by the deed.
And the seed I have sown.
And the seed I have sown.
And I'll live with my Savior.
And I'll live with my Savior.
While the ages roll on
and on.
While the ages roll on.
While the ages roll on.
While the ages roll on.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. And we certainly appreciate those who've been following our radio show on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on social media, Facebook Live. I do believe my co-host Steve Coder was having some technical difficulty with his audio on the Facebook Live presentation on the show tonight, but he's going to try to redo that video and post it later on social media. I want to thank my co-host Steve Cordo for his lesson, The Lesser of Two Evils. That is always a great lesson to hear, and I hope we can try to do that at every political season that comes up on this radio show, because it's very important how we look at these things through the lens of God's word. So we have to vote with a good conscience. Everything we do, we must do with a good conscience before God. That's what it's all about. And I just want to thank everyone who has been tuning into this radio show. We are just so thrilled to be able to put on the program on a weekly basis. And it is our prayer that the lessons that were given on the show tonight have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened, because you're not only tuning in to this radio show, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's word. I'm your host, Steve Arbuckle, and I want to say on behalf of all of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show, we really do appreciate your love and support for these programs. God bless you and good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Gospel Light radio show.
Set me free, oh, your amazing love.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition.
In the midst of my mind. help me to sing, Lord, in the midst,
in the middle of my trial.
Lord, I need a song.
In the midst of
when I'm in the middle.